I do love that music.
I do love it, too.
Yeah. And we're back. I guess it's been actually a minute or two since we've done this podcast, and there have been a few changes. One, it's been a while since we've done the podcast. I like to say we've been on hiatus, but the truth is it's been, for me personally, it's been an extremely challenging past year or so, mentally, emotionally. I just couldn't do it. There was just so much going on. It's interesting for me because I, you know, have had very stressful careers, and of course, having prostate cancer kind of leads to a stress, and that was one of the reasons why I ultimately retired. But just so much going on. But anyway, I've had very stressful careers, and I find that now that I'm actually retired, when you're supposed to be leading the good life.
You're having a very stressful retirement.
Yes, I'm having to take meds for anxiety and stress, so it's I'm trying to suss that out. And actually, in a few more days since the recording of this, since today, I'll be turning 70 as well. So that's one thing I'm actually not worried about. I'm kind of excited. My brother's coming to town, and you know, well, I think we'll have a good time. We won't be too crazy, but we'll have a good time.
Fun.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
But what's your name?
I'll get there. My name is Mark Johnson. Hopefully, they've seen that on the screen already.
Oh.
And this is my lovely wife.
Jill Johnson, and
best friend Jill Johnson, and this is our podcast, Above All, There's Hope. All the previous ones that we've done were audio only, so this is a video podcast, so we're kind of excited about doing this.
You get to see the faces behind the voice.
Yeah.
They usually never look like you thought they might.
Yeah, but Jill thinks she's having a bad hair day. I think she's beautiful, so
thank you.
Yeah. So, you know, getting back to what we were talking about just a minute ago, you know, I'm turning 70, and one of the things that I've that kind of added to that stressful year was that I've had a few friends pass away or get sick, things like that, And I know, not to overuse the cliche, but it's kind of like the circle of life thing.
Right.
But I'm just going to say to the people who are listening to this or even watching this is take your friends and family, the people you love, and hold them close. Tell them you love them because you might not have a chance, or you might not have a chance to resolve any issues that you may have with somebody that you would otherwise love. So, and if you can't hold them, text them, call them, email them, something like that.
That's kind of one of my philosophies. I always really make it a point to love my family and friends, thinking that I don't want to have any regrets.
Right, right.
It's, so, and I always say that. I don't want to have any regrets.
Yeah. So, through the magic of video, we're here due actually entirely to our friends at Full Sail University. We're here in the Live 2 building, and we're a part of a lab for audio and video technology. So the instructor, John Cost, and LEP specialist, Caitlin Cajon, are here with the two students. Evie, Juan and Evie, right? Is that right? Yeah, Juan and Evie. And they're helping us do this. So I'm very thankful for them to be a part of this, you know. sometimes these things are kind of voluntary, and sometimes these kind of podcasts can be, yeah, I really don't want to listen to that, but I think it's something everybody needs to listen to at some point in their life, so they're getting it a little early. So, thank you. Thank you all so much for helping this. I'd also like to have send some special thanks to Sennheiser for the microphones. Sennheiser for the microphones and the headphones, and also Jerry Harvey Audio for my in-ears. Thank you for that. They're helping us make this possible. So on with the podcast, actually. Jill and I have been now living with prostate cancer. I'm the one with cancer, but Jill has...
I don't have prostate cancer.
Thank heavens for that, yeah. Because there would be other things to discuss.
I don't have that.
Right. But you might as well, because you've been walking by my side for the 13 or so years that I've had the cancer. It's been since 2013 when I was first diagnosed, and I have to tell you, boy, it's been
a roller coaster.
Yes, a roller coaster ride with some ups and downs thrown in with or a couple of barrel rolls and loop-de-loops thrown in just for good measure.
Actually, also many celebrations. Mark really didn't think he'd be here a year or so after his diagnosis, and he's 13 years out. So,
yeah.
I mean, we do celebrate that.
Yes, we're quite thankful for that. And just being, as I like to say, upright and above ground. My prostate cancer at this point is stage 3 metastatic cancer, which is kind of a scary...
But undetectable.
Undetectable.
As much as sense as that makes.
Thanks in large part to the medical team that I have working for me, with me, that have helped me... figure out the right meds to use and all that good stuff. But my biggest challenge, well, one of my big challenges during this is I've found that there is scant little prostate awareness among the general populace.
Public.
Yeah. And so if I had my hat here, I'd probably take it off to the Susan G. Komen Foundation, because they've done an amazing job with raising funds and getting the word out about breast cancer awareness and resources and things like that. And it's just my hope that we get to a point with prostate cancer where we have that same kind of awareness. And it's kind of ironic to me because, as I've said before, prostate cancer is as prevalent in men as breast cancer is in women. So
it's
just it's kind of baffling to me. And
well, the other thing is men that are diagnosed with prostate cancer, their daughters have a very high risk of developing breast cancer.
Correct.
So one leads to the other
right.
In some sense.
There should be some kind of a handshake between the foundations. I mean,
exactly.
I don't really know why it's not as well known, but I have my own opinions, but sometimes people don't really care about other people's opinions, so it's really unknown. And the other thing is that men of color, particularly black men, are more apt to be diagnosed with prostate cancer.
Right.
So it's just there are so many out there, and Even lately in the news, there have been some diagnoses of people with prostate cancer. I can't remember actually who they are off the top of my head, and I should have written that down.
But I can't remember either, but in the black community and in the community of men in general, there's kind of a code of silence around this and shame. I think that's why men don't really want to talk about it or hear about it. I mean, if somebody has prostate cancer, generally your friends don't even want to hear about it.
Right,
because it's scary.
Right,
so,
right. It is scary, and it has continued to be scary for me. However, I've, you know, obviously come to accept what's going on. But there is a disconnect at some point. So one of the things that I found is that Jill and I have kind of researched, mostly Jill has researched support groups, online support groups, and there are many, many even face-to-face, in-person support groups. The surgeon who did my robotic surgery many years ago, they hold a support group that's regular down at their facility. It's too far for me to get to easily.
But that was a great support.
It was a really good support for us when we first.
Yeah.
But we didn't even find out about it until it was too late. And
well after.
Well, not too late, but well after, in between the surgery and going to the support group, there was quite a bit of angst that we had. But the support group really, really did help. But, you know, I think that part of the disconnect is that a lot of these things that are happening, the support groups and the different pieces of PR that manufacturers do or somebody might do, they're all kind of preaching to the choir. And that's actually the name of this particular episode. Which here we are, season two. That's what I'm doing since we finally finished it. So we're in
episode one.
And it's called Preaching to the Choir and Other Topics. And that's kind of what's happening. They're all preaching to the choir. And so they're doing a great job of supporting the people who already have prostate cancer, but not such a great job of getting the message out, and I believe that fundamentally there should be more corporate support, you know, corporations that put their weight behind these things, you know, until we can kind of get it up. So get up the awareness of get up the awareness, no pun intended. I apologize for anybody who's offended. But, you know, just raise the awareness, the general
also
awareness.
Also the medical community. I mean, every time I go in for a physical exam, they want to do a breast exam. They want me to go for a mammogram. And not so much with the men.
Right.
Mark had years and years where his doctor didn't think he needed to have a PSA test. Just didn't bother with it.
Yeah.
Little did that doctor know that Mark had prostate cancer all the while.
Right, right. My prostate cancer surgeon, my robotic surgeon, said that I probably had had it for about 10 years before I actually had the surgery. So that's kind of frightening. And so, you know, as I said, the corporate support, just to help get the word out, you know, in broadcasts and print and online, I think would really help. You know, I watch those commercials on TV that tout treatments for...
Diabetes.
Well, diabetes is pretty widespread, but for other things that, you know, other illnesses or things that are would not be, to me, as widespread as prostate cancer is. And it's like, they go, ask your doctor for more information about, you know, this med or that med.
And help you lose weight.
Yeah, well, everybody could stand to do that, you know. But it's just kind of crazy to me that we can't get the medical community a little more behind it. I was in the doctor's office making an appointment, and they had a calendar. So this is the calendar that is... And it's really nice calendar. It has the full year plus a little bit into the next year, and it's plastic, so you can it's going to be durable. They listed for each month. They listed what support month it was.
What medical
issue it was, or malady, or whatever you want to say, and so. For September, which is, by the way, prostate cancer
month,
they had some other malady listed.
Also?
Not even also.
Oh, they didn't have prostate cancer?
They didn't have prostate cancer.
Oh, yeah.
But you can, they're on the list in October, which is breast cancer support month. They had that. So... But I think there's just a lot of mixed messages. So, for instance, June, which is the month that we're in now, is Men's Health Month. And then there's also the Movember. I'm not sure how it's pronounced.
Movember,
which is also a men's health kind of initiative. So there's too many things going on that will, I think, confuse the...
Makes things unclear.
Right.
What they're...
Exactly. So, you know, I'm doing my best, but it's just us two. Right?
Can I say something about social media?
Sure.
So Mark brought up the fact that I do research. It's not exactly research. It's Facebook, and you know how that goes. You should never believe what's on Facebook. But there's some support groups on Facebook that really are very informative, very supportive. I have learned so much by following. There's a Partners of Prostate Cancer, so anybody that supports a man who has prostate cancer, it's a great site on Facebook. And then there's just the Prostate Cancer Awareness website. And I mean, it talks very candidly about the real issues. It's sometimes I have to turn it off. It's too heart-wrenching. But I get a lot of information there, and a lot of good information, real information, life experience information. It's a great tool.
Yeah. But on the good news front, Jill and I have been fortunate. The company that makes my primary medication, called Erleada, we have been really fortunate to have been connected to them as people who are, for lack of a better word, spokespeople for this particular medication, Erleada. So we've met with some of the team that work on, I think it's patient coordination or something like that, where they coordinate with patients and see how they're doing with the meds and things like that. I have a care navigator that... calls me occasionally to check in to see how I'm doing, and she was the one that actually told me about the it's called the Janssen Share Network, And it's been kind of exciting for us mm-hmm. because we've done a couple of interviews where they were just kind of trying to figure out who we were and get to know us. And we've done now two recordings. One of them was just Jill and I, where they recorded the piece to kind of pass around as a tool internally for Janssen. And we just finished last week, just about a week ago, actually.
Kind of a conference.
Yeah, it was a town hall meeting with over 200 people. And that was pretty exciting.
We were the stars.
they didn't send our star bus, you know, and they didn't fulfill my writer, you know, requests of
Once again,
you know,
I
Dr.
Had to do
Pepper.
My own makeup.
Yeah, yeah. And I didn't do any makeup, but that was really exciting.
That was fun.
Yeah. And the other thing, so that's been really nice. And my ultimate goal is to actually get with their marketing team to, you know, at least have a chance to say my piece. And also Sennheiser, where we have these wonderful mics and Jill has her headphones, has agreed to post things on their website. So, you know, as we get these podcasts together, they will promote them. And I'm excited about that. It's in my mind, as feeble as it is, at 70 years old.
Oh, you're not 70 yet.
Well, yeah. What is it? 5 more days. Corporate sponsorship. Corporate is the way to go. But anyway, I say let's stop preaching to the congregation. Let's stop preaching to the choir, and preach to the congregation. And take this sermon. Let's all take this sermon. On the road, to the streets. And with that, we've come to a part that we've always done on these podcasts called the last word. And guess who gets to have the last word?
The woman.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Me. So take it away, Jill. What do you have to say?
I have to say that prostate cancer is a bad dude, and it's a tough cancer. The world would like to tell you that people don't die from prostate cancer, that probably die from something else, but prostate cancer is very serious. It metastasizes. It's a killer. It's a killer, and if men don't get serious about taking care of their health...
Oh, I noticed you're looking at me, too.
You're taking care of your health.
Kind of, yeah.
Well, if you don't get tested, you don't know. And if you don't know, that's not good.
Yeah.
So the last word from me is get your PSA tests.
Yeah, it's easy. It's just a blood test. It's just a blood test. There are too many people out there that ignore the symptoms. I didn't really have
like
any symptoms.
It's like breast cancer. I mean, I've had mammograms all my life, and I don't have breast cancer.
Right.
I mean, most people will find they do not have prostate cancer. But if you do, it's good to know early.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Just a blood test. So, for instance, Frank Zappa died from prostate cancer. Because he just thought it was something else, and he ignored it for so long that by the time they tested him, it was too late.
Well, and oftentimes prostate cancer doesn't have any symptoms.
Yeah, like me.
As breast cancer.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of times you don't know anything's wrong.
Yeah.
So it's just a simple medical test.
Yeah.
The last thing we always like to say, are we almost wrapping it up?
We're almost wrapping up. I have one last thing to say. Again, I want to say thanks to Sennheiser and JH Audio. And then the last thing that we always like to say is be strong and persevere.